Thank you, Frank, for those kind remarks. I've been called the evangelist of interoperability from time to time. I believe in it with all my heart. It is the right time for us to be doing what we're doing sitting in this room. We are protecting the American people, and what we're doing has a social conscience. I want to talk today about interoperability and emergency communications. Frank has graciously allowed me to talk about where interoperability is today from the point of view of Raytheon and where it is headed. As Frank mentioned, we are part of Raytheon, have been for 3 years, part of Network Centric Systems, which Frank's organization also reports up to. Our mission is to provide interoperability solutions, and that goes well beyond the black box area these days. I also want to mention that we've just come from the National Guard Bureau IT show in Las Vegas, where we were networked to 5 booths, in fact, using Intel's WiMAX solution to network to them, interoperability, and we had a double satellite hop from the Raytheon booth to the Cisco booth. We were passing voice, data, and video, and doing that with commercial off-the-shelf products, which is what we're going to learn today, is that's the way this industry is going. I want to figure out how to step this to the next page. There you go. All right. Founded in 88, of course, Frank talked about some of this. You can read it. It's going to be part of the package. We all know the definition of interoperability came out of the National Task Force on Interoperability in 2003, and that was the ability to communicate with other responding agencies as needed in real time. We see many, many instances of interoperability need. Some of those that you see here spawned the development of the ACU-1000, which was the first black box into the market. Oklahoma City bombing was one of those. We also, of course, had the incident at Columbine High School. The president at the time sent Jan Arena looking for a solution. We were packaging a rack and stack solution into a single box called the ACU-1000 at the time. And that, of course, got deployed in 97 at Kelly Air Force Base as the first deployment. Heavily used in the sniper incident. As you may or may not know, Maryland is blanketed with interoperability gateways. D.C. is surrounded by them. Virginia has a number of them in the hands of the DOT, and they were all infrastructure used in the tracking of the sniper. Of course, where infrastructure doesn't exist, as in the space shuttle incident of 2003, Raytheon deployed a first responder vehicle to East Texas with interoperability on board so that the various agencies looking for the debris and also the unfortunate bodies of our people could talk to each other. We all have seen this type of slide daily, emergency needs for critical incident command and control. Interoperability started out being emergency response, but today it's used in many jurisdictions every day, especially in regions where you have much urban development, including cities that are contiguous, as car chases cross city boundaries, as drug busts involve more than one agency. Of course, communications interoperability can mean a variety of things today, including use of existing LMR infrastructure. And let me say that radio manufacturers' view of interoperability is to deploy trunking systems. Naturally, they need to do that in order to grow and prosper, but in so doing, those LMR trunking systems, of course, require the replacement of all radios that are currently being used. Those trunking systems, however, do bring many features and functions, and P25 is certainly in dire need of being released. I'm saying beyond the air interface standard, especially the ISSI standard, which you heard mentioned earlier, that would allow different P25 terrestrial infrastructure systems to interoperate. Mutual aid frequencies, of course, those are deployed now in many applications, sharing frequencies. Of course, patchwork interoperability is where we sit today. There's some 2,500 units, ACU-1000s, ACUTs, TRP-1000s, deployed around the country. And my belief is that we should make use of them now with a network backbone, perhaps provided by my friend from Sprint there or someone else, or pieces from everybody, and give this country nationwide interoperability without spending money and tying together all the legacy radios that are out there, trunking or otherwise. Of course, working together really sums it up. These are just some applications. You can see that interoperability can come in many shapes. The key here is that if they're going to be operational over wide areas, they need to be network integrated. They need to have remote access and control. They need to use VoIP. Again, more examples. The NYPD unit you see there is one of many in New York City. It was the star of a show involving a hostage situation some time ago. Of course, unfortunately, the hostage taker died in the ensuing shootout, but the hostages themselves were rescued. This is in Alexandria, Virginia. It was deployed under the Agile program, Advanced Generation of Interoperability for Law Enforcement. And you can see, someone mentioned yesterday, the great number of law enforcement agencies in the Capital Region. Well, you can take a look at them and see. And before this unit was deployed, it was possible for the D.C. Metro Police to drive by, say, the Smithsonian Institute, where the Smithsonian Police had a hostage situation underway, and not know it. So voice interoperability technology, to summarize it, really requires remote radios that are connected to gateways over networks, not leased lines. Why would you want to use networks? Well, networks are already deployed in many locations, and they're a lot less expensive than leased lines. You can make the network more efficient if you put your remote radio traffic over that. Of course, that requires the use of remote radio over IP capabilities, which means that the full duplex audio channels, including PTT and COR, as well as data controlling talk groups, frequencies, etc., pass over that network. And let me say that in the Raytheon approach to this world, we have DoD algorithms that make this work well, because we can detect human speech without missing it in noise. We use 14 parameters to do that. And if the intelligibility is there, we will detect it. That means that we're routing packets only when speech is present. Furthermore, we have DSP algorithms that can remove the noise and interference from the baseband before passing it. What does that mean? Well, all that means is we don't false on noise. We ignore gunshots and whistles and sirens and horns, but we pass speech. Of course, compression, we use standards for that. Bandwidth, we trade that off in certain cases for higher voice quality where we need it, or if we need to transport non-speech signals such as data or video. The devices that you people deploy in your daily missions over networks need to have SIP and SNMP. Those devices now can reside on the network. Their health can be checked, and you can interface with them while they, of course, talk with legacy radios and make those legacy radios look somewhat like they have IP addresses. Wide area interoperability systems is also important. And that particular world, you need controllers that are software interfaces so that you can seamlessly integrate radio systems over a network. These networks may be wired or wireless. They were certainly wireless in the booth that I talked about that Intel had because they were WiMAX, and they were wireless because they were SATCOM in the Cisco booth in the show that I referred to. Of course, they've got to be able to pass all kinds of things, including frame relay, fiber, Wi-Fi, WiMAX, 3G, and so forth. And in the wide area interoperability world, you need to provide seamless remote access and control from any point in the network. That is, if you have a PC available and it has an Ethernet port, why can't you put it onto the network and use it to at least see and hear the traffic? Of course you can do that. Raytheon will provide you with the VoIP technology to reside on that PC, if you wish, and allow you then from the desktop where you work during the day to monitor activities across town. Of course, these systems need to be end-to-end secure, as we've heard earlier in these sessions. They need to be seamless. They need to cross network boundaries without interference from the types of networks that are in place. This is just an example of a wide area system. And that you'll see that you have a PC, at least one. I see two there. And those are, there it is. Right there and right there. You can, of course, walk up and apply other tools if you wish. This is an example of what Waze software would look like. This is a particular product that Raytheon offers. I'm showing many of the different devices that Raytheon would offer in a system of systems solution. This is a wide area system that's deployed in Maryland, for example, 22 sites statewide, and it is used for drug stings, chases, etc. in that megapolis corridor between Washington and Baltimore. Of course, it's used if you get a dirty bomb that goes off on the naval, Annapolis, the Naval Academy campus. Current interoperability issues, of course, you're familiar with them, turf wars, selfishness, competition, adversarial relationships. I want to show you this Raytheon definition of future interoperability, the ability of local and regional public safety agencies, state agencies, federal, National Guard, etc., to pass diverse voice, data, and video seamlessly. Of course, there have been several paradigm shifts in this world. The first one about 36 months ago, in which voice interoperability became VoIP. The second one about 18 months ago, in which networking started to assert itself. It was no longer possible to sell equipment just to the communications department. You had to convince the IT department. The third one is occurring now, and that's the convergence of voice, data, and video. Future interoperability solutions exist today. They require no R&D. There are transformational tools available that we know about and have to overcome agencies' reluctance to interoperate in a short time. There are end-to-end secure communications techniques as well to protect the network from eavesdropping. And, of course, the site survey tools are used to define all combinations by type of incident and type of agency responding, so that every type of incident is handled. These are examples, data examples and video examples. These are things that we've demonstrated or can demonstrate using commercial off-the-shelf equipment. These are a series of slides on different scenarios and examples that we can and have shown are operational. These are going to be in the slide package so y'all can look at them as you wish. They are voice, data, and video and they are network-based. I'll now retire and allow Frank to come back up here and introduce the next gentleman.